Ja, wenn die Fahrstunden sind, immer wieder.
I thought I'd like to sit down and write them out.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I actually thought that today I'd probably do have some questions, so I thought this time I'll sit quietly and write them out.
Yeah, anything, any questions about what you read?
No, I haven't read a lot recently, I've been doing
all
this singing on Sunday.
Okay. That's good. So you like it, Danny?
Yeah.
Okay, we got a surprise for you all. Our nectar points of discussion. That's a fancy thing. What else, everyone? Give me one. Everybody finished? What do you think? What's that?
I said it's a verse that's sort of nothing to you about, you know, like I've seen it around a lot. Yeah.
What do you say?
What does honor the emptiness mean? And secondly, when you say continually improve?
You asking me?
I'm just wondering if you believe it and that you can improve yourself.
You asking me personally?
I'm just asking in general.
No, this is just, these are just some points that, you know, we're just discussing and we're just seeing how everyone reacts to them.
Well, I just don't know if honoring
ask him. This is Grant.
Grant?
No, we're being facetious. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms, isn't it, really? You can't honour something that doesn't exist. But I mean, that's what I don't want to say to it. But I mean, it's a buzzword, isn't it, or a buzz phrase. You hear that comment, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Anyone else? What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think we're continually trying to fill ourselves with lots of everything, busy world out there. So some people aren't filled or knowledgeable. So some people might be empty, or some people honor yourself. Like, so, well, hey, that's all right. You're not that bright after all, but honor yourself maybe. The whole sentence, you've got to sum up the whole sentence, what it's actually saying. So for me, about trying to continually improve and analyse yourself, which we do, we try and work out everything. We're not that full, the only full person to be God.
What is that?
I don't know. What do you reckon? What's how quick is it?
Just leave ourselves the way we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Just leave ourselves the way we are. Up to, do you think that it's up to, like, God to improve you, or do you think it's up to
self? Yeah,
it's a pretty deep topic for someone who's only going to be here for 15 more minutes.
I'm just asking because I'm Christian.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that your brother?
Good. I'm know that some parts of the church believe different things, but I just want, because, like, you know, how Catholics don't believe in sanctification.
Are you Catholic, eh?
Oh, no, I'm not.
What are you?
No, I'm all Catholic. Not just in Catholics at all, but I don't have a denomination, but I believe in sanctification. Do you guys know what that is? Well, do you want to know?
But since you're just going to be here for 10 more minutes, now you use this word God, I don't know how that fits in or whatever, but maybe you'd like to elaborate on that. But in addition, we'd like to hear what others thought. You don't have to just focus on the emptiness here. You can...
Well, that's right, the whole thing is, what does it actually say?
I mean, there's other points there, too.
Yeah.
Everyone's really hung up on the emptiness.
Slow down, honor the emptiness.
Slow down is a very good point.
Yeah, we're always rushing about in this world.
Did you write this?
You thought that I measured?
Yeah.
Why?
No, no.
At some point, I'm passing out for
how do you find the soul in the midst of modern life? Slow down, honor the emptiness without trying to continually improve and analyze ourselves.
Maybe it's
saying
just to be.
Yeah, just be who you want to be.
What do you mean by that?
I think it's quite encouraging.
And then you're getting really your time is worth it.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to say something about
that. So what were you saying? Yeah, just something about just... Something about just being? Is there anything that strikes you on this whole page?
No,
I don't. Come on, stir it up. Listen to this. Mating soulfully, therefore alchemically, yielding to whatever transmutations of self and others within and beyond the relationship, such mating evokes. Soulful mating is the mutual acknowledgement, acceptance, and allowance of the working out in relationship of two embodied mysteries.
Good stuff.
Yeah. What do you think here?
Well, I think I've heard this before. Somewhere. But only in the last 20 years.
Yeah?
I don't know. I think that it's too general for me to get a hold of. It's just a whole lot of general. It's cream. Fucking cream.
Anyone else? Do you have nothing more to say? Honoring the mystery of love and relationship? Doesn't sound exciting to you? Loving will go for this.
Loving relationship. What happened there?
You're quiet today, huh? Anything to say about this, Megan?
This is really juicy stuff.
You all are so quiet. Doesn't it sound great to you all? Meeting soulfully and alchemically, yielding to whatever transformations of self and others within and beyond the relationship. Such amazing evokes.
When you say mating, do you mean the last one just?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, but do you mean that in a marriage sense?
Yes, you mean?
Oh, I'm not a Hare Krishna, so I'm just wondering.
I never said these are Krishna consciousness points. These are just some things we're discussing.
I never said
these are anything to do with Krishna consciousness.
I assume because you were sitting on the chair.
That's
the chair, then. Sorry.
Got a lot to learn, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to learn.
Okay. So, it's just not popular anymore? Soulmates and love and relationships?
I think it is, yes, becoming more so. Sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of marriage breakups and divorces, they're really finding what's really going on. And especially women are careful who they mix with, and men still don't know what's really going on. So it's just a mess. That's why a lot of people come here or whatever. They really want to find a real mate, friend for life. And the married,
they are. They come here?
Well, yeah, I think. We come here for knowledge. That's why we come to you, Guru.
Is that why you come here, to find a soulmate?
Oh, I came here.
Sometimes it is.
Eat something and go to the movies, right?
Yeah. Mike is here.
And so I thought I'd prefer to be here rather than the movie.
Oh.
Well, you know, I have yours in my hair before.
She's in the movie.
So I like to mix with like-minded people. So I do go to places where I'm likely to get their company.
But you're not concerned with honoring the mystery of love and relationships? Been through that, huh?
Honoring the mystery. I have to think of it.
What about you? What do you think of this?
I'm not experienced.
What is that?
I'm not experienced. What?
What
was
it?
I'm not experienced.
Does
it make any sense to you?
Yeah.
No? Can you explain?
Meaning more soulmate. How you can generate your ideas, share experience.
Why are you laughing? You're sounding very, youthful and you sound like a novice, huh? People are looking at light at you like, you're still in the clouds, you don't know what it's really about. You were going to say something?
No, I was laughing under my beard.
He was, you know, being very, how shall we say, you say you would have idealistic expectations? Would you say that? You're saying he has idealistic expectations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's he? Oh, this man here?
Yeah.
I like to act him, he's done a really good art, wasn't he?
Yeah, a real cynical crowd here.
My mind goes everywhere.
He's being sincere. Come on, you guys, let's just sit it.
That means what?
You're cynical.
Pessimistic.
Oh, me or that guy?
No, you.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. It's true.
Pessimistic.
Okay. So.
So he told me it's
not.
I'm very good at English and comprehension. So. Yeah, this man was saying about his meetings and the experience with this kind of these topics here. Is that what you're saying? And he's not used to it, he doesn't understand it, and that's what he's saying about.
No, he thought it was, it's good, right? You thought to have someone
yeah.
to...
Yeah, it's nice to have it, but I haven't experienced much of love and relationship, like, it opposite, you know, female or someone, or any kind of close friendship.
I'm trying to say everybody is so silent on this point.
What point is it? What is the point of it?
We're mating, soul mating, soul is a part of us, and modern life, the soul of modern life is like war topics.
What is soulful mating? Is
that? Real, proper,
real deep.
Yeah, well, it's mating, but it's purposeful mating for reason. So the two thoughts, the two energies, are there for reason.
Here's our friend, give her a paper. She'll be into it. We need to spark things up here.
Oh, no.
Offer her a seat, please. Here's our seat over. Having a deep discussion. Waiting for you to get off the ground. You're having your driver's license.
Come back next time.
Channel the truth. Anyway. Do you have any comments on this?
I take this just into the word or the whole
thing.
What was like that?
Whatever, you know.
Okay. We're just discussing the whole thing, on.
Yeah. To see how, you know, how people bat it around.
I should think about it for a minute.
You've got to read it to see if you can get an understanding of what it means.
What's that?
It's like you've got to read it to get an understanding of what it means and then figure out what it is that you really want us to talk about.
Well, you know, is it really that profound and deep you have to look, read over and over again?
Come on, Laura, she's a teacher. This is just verbiage, this is just puffery, it is meaningless.
The mystery of love and relationships.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's just life, it's just what is, it's a being.
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
You don't believe in love and relationships?
Well, that's why I come here to find out from this book of what it's about. Because I don't think
yielding to whatever, let's listen to this. Yielding to whatever transmutations of self and others within and beyond the relationship. Wow. Isn't that great stuff?
If everybody thought it was great stuff, they'd be commenting on it.
I think you're really cynical tonight. you
really?
You recognize the value.
I've got it. I haven't read it yet. I don't even
You recognize. I still recognize the value of it. You guys are as false cynical.
It is in depth. You have to put read it between the lines.
Oh, what do you see between the lines?
Yeah, true.
I mean, what does it mean to you? Soulmates, the mystery of love and relationships. No one's into this stuff, huh?
It's something you see on a pen, advertised on TV. Really, that's what it is.
So no one here is into love, relationships?
Yeah, we are. I think a lot of us are, and that's great. So how can we elaborate on that? How can we jazz it up? How can we all say aye, don't we? We all like
it. So first, you probably have to decide, before we start talking about what the soul is, then you can figure out what a soulmate is. You probably have to figure out
what's the point of relationships? Now, none of you here are against relationships, but I get the feeling that you all are kind of past the idealistic stage, and you all, I sense you all are into the kind of practicalities of the situations. Like, you know, when I was a young boy.
Have you done it? You know?
Yeah, I guess I kind of get that impression.
Yeah.
Not the real thing. It's all in there.
Pragmatic?
No. Pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
Yeah. You kind of, you all kind of remind me of a mantra said by times my mother taught me when I was a young boy. Romance without finance is a nuisance. I kind of get that kind of reaction right here. You kind of like been there, done that, you know? But so what do you have to look forward to now? There's no more mystery of love and relationships. What do you have to look forward to?
What about them?
Is that bad, huh?
I was just complaining.
So, what do you have to look forward to? It's not this. What is there?
Sharing good times with your partner, your soulmate. Is that good?
I don't know. Can
well, I reckon it is. Great times, you know, and learning off each other's do's and don'ts. Just the whole kind of carry on with life of the soul, so-called soulmate. So you can learn and know.
You're gonna write your book now, huh?
I can't write. I need someone to write it for me.
Okay, so we're waiting for you. You have anything? I'm being very patient now.
No, he's more here than I am. I'm
no.
You have no comments on that.
No.
I sense there's something, but I'll tell you what I sense. Everyone here is in the been there, done that stage, but at still at the same time they have a longing in their heart for something. I guess, you know, almost everybody here has been through the romantic stage, so you're pretty cynical about that. At the same time, your heart's a longing for something. Yeah?
Why
is that? More knowledge.
More knowledge.
About who we really are. Why do we do things? Why do we...
Do you have any comments? So, no, then.
It's false.
No.
I'm looking for some.
I mean, here's my point. Now, this has a serious point to it all. I'm not just pulling your leg. If you're not into what's on this page, what are you into?
The truth.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you're not into what's on this page, what are you into?
Other activities.
The only other thing that you can be into, if you're not into what's on this page, is just making a lot of money. I mean, I'm speaking of material choices. I'm not talking about anything beyond the material plane. Of material choices, if you're not into what's on this page, then you just got to be into just piling up a lot of money. One or the other.
Not necessarily.
Look, I said of material choices.
Oh, yes. You're all out to make money. You're all out to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
You might be into your own sickness. No, you might be into your own depression. You might be into your own happiness.
So, what are you all going to do? You say no one's into this, yet I know your hearts are longing for something. Now what to do? If you've actually seen through all these buzzwords and as Grant was saying, these how would you describe it in a nutshell?
I like that saying, personally in the Bible it says, seek the kingdom within and all else will follow. I'm not really sure if I really understand that, but I still like it.
The kingdom within. So where do you look for the kingdom within?
The kingdom within.
Where do you look for that?
Well, I'm only guessing. I haven't found all the answers, but...
Where are you looking within? Which lung? In your stomach? Where do you look within?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm not saying I know all the answers, so I do like that.
That's the kind of city inside your stomach there?
I like that.
Kingdom within?
Reading in the Bible that says, seek the kingdom within and all else will follow. And so I'm you know, endeavouring to find out what that really means.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some ideas on it, but whether it's actually the truth. I like that, because I like the fact that if you seek that, all else will follow. I mean, I think it can be said in many other different ways, in different languages.
Okay, now I want you to understand why we're taking some time at this point. It's not just teasing you. If you're not into this, then what is there for you in life? If you're not into this or just piling up a lot of money, what are you doing? Does anybody know? If you're shrewd enough to see through this, and whether you like it or not, you're not piling up a lot of money. What are you into? What do you expect to do with yourself? Do you have any brave souls who'd like to answer that question?
Struggling to live our life.
Struggling to live our life. Now what does that mean?
It's living in expensive cities. Money, money.
This is economics.
Yeah.
So, if you're not into this aspect of material life, as talked about on this page, besides your economic affairs, what is there? Are you just like some kind of clone who just, you know, gets a paycheck?
What do you mean a clone?
Some kind of, are we just kind of robots? Like
empty and soulless.
Like automatic.
Soulless.
What's that?
Well, empty and soulless have no purpose. That's what some people write.
Even worship.
What do you mean? Even worship.
Sometimes people get on
and think this. Worship.
Can you explain that, please?
Well, if you're not into God, then you obviously...
Where do you see... How do you get God out of this?
Oh yeah, it doesn't mention God, does it?
Yeah, but you must have seen something somewhere.
Must have been between the lines. You must have kept up between the lines.
Anyone see anything between the lines there?
I'm seeing it as like, well, we have, well, I believe we have a creator. We were created from a greater creator. And, we put here for purpose. And life is full of mystery.
Okay, took me a while, but life is full of mystery. Now, can you please explain that?
Well, I think that's why we put here. To look for the mystery. Yeah. Find out.
Sure.
Because it's a human trait to be always looking, searching.
So after you look and search, then what? Do you ever find? Or what are you looking for?
Not always.
What are you looking for?
The emptiness inside. Everyone has that, I think.
So you're looking for the emptiness?
No, you're not looking for the emptiness, but you're looking for something to fulfill.
Plug the hole.
Yeah.
And what do you think the nature of that emptiness is?
Separation.
From?
God.
The source. The great central sun.
No.
So you all agree on that? You agree on that?
No.
Okay, can you explain? We're getting a little light here. It takes a while to get the brains going, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, just because it's a big leap. I mean, just because you don't find Well, if you find that life is mysterious because you meet some people that you want to get to know and it takes a long time to do that, and you eventually have to have a relationship with them, that person, and this is a new age love affair, and then perhaps you find that that's happened three or four times already in my...
It'll become a mystery.
So, I mean, that is a big leap to say. And,
two embodied mysteries, the working out in relationship of two embodied mysteries. I mean, is there anything really mysterious about all that stuff? The mystery ends generally after the first night, doesn't it? He does it.
That's not.
What is
so hard to generalize about things?
Yeah. Really?
I find it really hard to. Yeah.
Yeah. The job of intelligence is to be able to discriminate. That means you're able to see one thing as compared to another. You're able to see long term as contrasted to short term. Significant from insignificant. So are you all telling me that no one has the ability to be able to come up with a actual clear focus and go for that? No one has that ability?
You didn't tell you.
All right, what is the focus?
On what?
What's the focus?
On...
Anyway, you had your turn. You revealed. Next.
Focus. Yeah, I know what you're coming to.
No. Next.
Sure.
Yes?
I assume you're talking focus for this?
Yeah.
Anything? Next.
Yes?
Yeah.
We missed you.
I gave my pens on this business about mystery. That you're always looking for mysteries, even if you just extinguished 20,000 of them already.
Well, can you explain it? You're always looking for mysteries. Can you give us a practical example from your life? Are you always looking for mysteries?
Well, no, I can't give many practical examples because I think the longer you wait, the bigger the mystery that you need, you know? Oh, you don't give up on mysteries, but you just haven't got a current one, you know?
Human nature of mysteries, if you think something's a mystery, you always want to go and investigate. It's in human nature to do that.
Mm-hmm. So how many of you are spending the main focus of your life investigating mysteries?
Oh, no.
Anyone?
I like mystery, something the unknown, very challenging, but exciting, new things to do.
How are you applying that?
By doing whatever takes me those directions.
Which directions?
Any direction, the unknown, anything.
Anything?
Well, not everything, but I mean, travel, meeting people that aren't normally different associations.
And what's the mystery about that?
Of the unknown? Well, it's...
What do they do? What do the people you meet, what different things do they do that the other people don't do?
They talk differently, they look different, they think differently, they do different things than other, we all do different things, and that's intriguing.
Mm. Actually, the Vedic texts will tell you that all material activities, whether done by animals or human beings, come down to four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Now, people do that with different styles in different places, but it all comes down to those four activities. Those are the four basic essential activities of material life. So where's the mystery?
Not everyone knows that.
Right. Where's the question of meeting new people and going to new places and doing new things? See, this is what you all are tripping up on. You don't know why you have this kind of weary, been there, done that reaction. The reason why you have this reaction is because there's no mystery in material life. You know what it's about. after your teenage years and early 20s, all the illusions about romance fade. And you know, life's about just getting enough money and surrounding yourself with persons who will do what you want most of the time and will give you a hard time. That's what it's all about. Arranging your beehive so that, you know, things go on most of the time the way you want. And if you don't, if things don't happen in that way, then you want to make a change. So where's the mystery? This is why you're having a tough time with this, because you know, there's no mystery. It's all the same thing. You tell me, where's the mystery in material life?
Well, I think as soon as you extinguish one, you always imagine there's another.
Yeah, you imagine, but is there?
Well, that's what we're like. We're not able to solve that.
Solve what?
The answer to the mystery. Whether we've run out of mysteries yet.
But where is the mystery? It's the same old thing.
Well,
in Sanskrit,
it's a mystery.
In Sanskrit, it's... Where is the mystery in human behavior?
Well, in the predictable world, there's a lot of mystery.
Hmm?
See, that's not...
Predictable.
No, you can't say there's mystery in the universe and in the world, because all that you know about the world and the universe is simply human perception.
Illusion.
No, I didn't say it's illusion. I just said when you talk about the world, you're basically talking about your perception and other people's perception. That's all you can talk about. That's all you know, right?
No, it's all the stuff I don't know. All the stuff about, you know, looking up in the sky and seeing all the stars.
Yeah, and so, how will your life change if you find out something about the stars? Well, how will your life change?
Well, it's not only there's a lot of people that have spent a lot of time in space programs and you know, just goes on and on.
It's billions of dollars, yeah. So.
It is very expensive mystery chasing, yeah.
Yeah, but mystery chasing, but there's actually no mystery. Has anyone's behavior changed?
That's right, the behavior is what it's saying.
Well, we might be deluded, but this is what we do. You know?
We might be deluded.
Well, maybe we are.
You all have to come, if you allow me to say, you all have to come and to the point of realizing what you actually are unconsciously admitting. Unconsciously, you're all admitting that the thrill is gone, there's actually no mystery, it's the same old thing. It's just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending with a little icing on top, you know, which you call mystery, but actually it's the same old cake. In Sanskrit, this is known as chewing that which has already been chewed. There's a Sanskrit verse, punas charvana charvana. That means, suppose you take something in your mouth and you chew it, so till all the juice is gone. What is the precise term? You masticate that term. Yeah. So all, and then you pull out what you chew, which is juiceless, just fiber. You pull it out of your mouth and then you hand it to someone else. Ah, it's the mystery. Please put this in your mouth and experience the mystery. So this is what material life is like. Now, if parents do that to their children, the parents chew the chewed all their life and they pull it out of their mouth and they hand it to their son or daughter. Here, you take this. Live a full life, chew on this, I'm going on, I'm passing on. But there's no mystery. Whether you know this, what's going on in the stars or not, all activities are simply reduced to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
What about wondering?
Wondering about what?
Did I miss that at the end? All those things. I don't know. They had to wondering.
Yeah, but no one just sits around and wonders. No. Do you simply sit around all day and wonder? What do you actually do most of the time? It's in those four things.
I like to think that I would spend some time on just what I do. Other than what I just do every day, you know. If necessary.
No worries.
Different conversations, though. You're not actually standing there under
the street looking up at the sky.
But from the Vedic standard, to classify yourself as a real human being, you've got to show how there's how your whole life is aimed for something other than those four activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Can anyone here do that? Can anyone here show how their life is moving towards different things than those four things?
What about the reflection? Coming here. Coming here, learning a bit more about spiritual life.
You didn't say sleeping either.
Fair enough. Okay.
I want to hear
and
learn about the
state
of the
detox. Yeah, okay, very good. Anything else?
What about sleeping?
Sleeping is eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Anything else you do?
So I'll agree with you.
What's that?
Spiritual enlightenment.
So what are you doing about that?
That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay. But in other words, other than coming here,
well, I go out there too. I sometimes go up to the Buddha retreat out at Kong Kong. I sometimes go
out
there
and meditate.
On what? The emptiness. No, they usually are chanting.
What do you chant?
Well, I don't really. I only read a couple of times, but they've got it all down in the book.
Oh. So what do you meditate on?
Well, they chant what's in the book, and it's on God chanting, I guess.
Theistic Buddhist?
No, I don't know. I've been a couple of times and chanted what's up there.
Well, if you went there a couple of times and you don't know what's going on, then there's a good chance that they don't know what's going on.
I wouldn't say that.
Then how come you don't know what's going on? If you've been there a couple of times.
Well, I did read some of their books and I understood, you know, that I read some of the books and I stayed up there and prayed with some of the people and then when I went up to...
So after finishing the books, what were you inspired to do? This is hard work, you know. I don't think this is easy for me to have to sit through all this. Do you see what life has been, you know? After all is said and done, these bubbles just burst and disappear, you know? You know, everyone, well, I was doing this, and then, well, I'm doing that. And then when we actually discuss it, what's the point? It just bursts, you know?
I don't think I've explained it properly.
You have explained it quite well. So are you all satisfied with this standard? Are you satisfied with this kind of standard of life?
Which one are you talking about? The material life.
Your life. Are you satisfied with the standard?
At the moment, I think I am. At this moment.
And what is the source of satisfaction?
I don't know what the source is, but I'm just satisfied at this moment.
In the room here?
Yeah. Being in this room, I'm satisfied.
Now, try to understand. This is a very important thing we're doing. Try to understand. If this is how you all think, what do you think others think? And I'll tell you, the persons who generally come here, no matter what their occupation is or social standing, they're the best persons you're going to find in the country. Now, and you guys are having a tough time figuring what you're about. Now, what do you think everybody else is like? You get my drift now? And now you wonder why things go on in the world the way they do?
I mean, you guys are the spiritually curious ones.
That's not all I do. I'm not, but I don't want to talk about it.
All right. We'll go to Bhagavad Gita. That was hard work. Text 29, chapter 2, text 29, page 113. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita? Page 113. Would like to read the translation? Please read that translation.
Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing. While others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all.
Yes, this is the problem with our situation today. Even persons who talk about the word soul do not know what they're talking about. You've got people running around using the God word and the soul word, and no one knows what they're referring to. Therefore, a serious human being uses his or her life to get to the bottom of all this, not just throw words around like soulful mating and the mystery of love. If you're actually making real value out of your human life, you want to get to the bottom of all this. That's your topmost occupation.
What's it all about, the whole thing, while we're here?
And that takes some commitment. You just can't, like, you know, wave your finger at this kind of stuff. You've got to really get into it. You need knowledge and a process of lifestyle purification. So if you actually want to come to grips with this kind of stuff, you have to take up the required lifestyle, the required behavior to be able to cope with this kind of knowledge. Just like if you want to get a university degree, there are certain things you have to do. So if you actually want transcendental knowledge beyond knowledge of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then you've got to actually take some measures in your life. Now, if you all have difficulty putting that into action, you can imagine how the other people are like. And then you can see why the world is the way it is. Why there's this inertia? Why there's this sluggishness? No one can really break out of the grip of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending and get something else done. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Especially those of you who are in your 40s. It's like a grip, you know? You just, well, I just got to do this routine. I got to make money. I got to pay my rent, my mortgage, pay for my car. You know, I got to put some, you know, I just got to work, and I got to keep up a good showing at work, and I got to do this, and I got to, and on and on and on it goes, and no one is able to extricate themselves. No one's able to disentangle themselves. Therefore, how do you expect knowledge of the soul and God, as you say? How do you expect it? No one wants to pay the tuition. And therefore, you leave yourself wide open for, you know, having to swallow junk like this. It's just pure junk. Now you all had the feeling that it was a bit empty and a bit, you know, just a bunch of hot words, but you didn't know anything to replace this with. All you know is that I've been through that romantic phase in life. It's just impractical, you know. Hey, if I have a good time with someone for a weekend, that's all right, but I know there's nothing more to the so-called mystery of love than that. So, but the problem, the reason why you were all silent is because you don't know what to replace this with. You understand?
Oh, sorry. I can hear it.
You don't know what to replace this with.
Oh, okay.
Replace the emptiness of the mystery.
Replace all this hogwash with. You have that expression here, hogwash?
Hogwash.
You don't know anything to replace all this hogwash with. Isn't that a, don't you think that's a shame? What would you replace this with?
Well, you can't design yourself a mystery, can you? If you want to be entertained. You go to all the movies in the universe, you'll be looking for another one.
An intelligent person like you should start in this way. What are you? Are you matter, or is there something more than matter about you?
Or is there another being like me?
No.
That's the same.
No.
As I am to a dog.
No. Are you matter or something more than matter? That is the first question. Getting a little warm in here? That's the first intelligent question. According to the Vedic standard, a human being is one who asks that question. Just a little bit, please. Otherwise, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending can be done in any species of life. I mean, humans have mothers and fathers, so do cats and rabbits. A human being is one who asks the question to begin with, and this is just preliminary. It's not advanced. Preliminary knowledge means, am I matter or something more also? Very simple. Now, if you had read Bhagavad Gita from the beginning, then you'd be able to know that. You see, the problem is people today have had their ability to concentrate completely destroyed. Their brains cannot actually put things into a proper framework. And I'm not just talking about the ordinary person, so-called. I'm talking about even people at universities, professors, scientists, even so-called philosophers today. They can't get to the actual basic issues because their brains have been so splayed out. Bhagavad Gita will actually teach you how to think straight. This book is not shoving things down your throat, it's developing your critical intelligence. While at the same time giving you access to the most profound spiritual knowledge. Now, Daniel, how can you beat that? So your first question should be, am I matter or something more? Based on the answer to that question, you'll live your life. If you think you're just matter, then but if you think that you're more than matter, then your life has to be focused on more than matter. How many of you think that you are just matter? That's it. Does anyone in this room think like that? No one in this room. So everyone in this room is in disagreement with what you'll learn at most any university in the science department. Almost everyone of you is in disagreement. You say that you're not simply matter. You say that. Nick, you say that?
I'm not mad enough. Some people do think like that, but we know that we are more than that.
Okay. Everybody here thinks that. You think you're matter or something else?
Yeah, I'm matter, but
well, matter
you're two of them.
I mean, as a result of what we've looked at tonight, matter, a rock, can't wander, you know.
So I'm asking you, do you think you're matter or something more? No, I'm asking you.
Because of that. At least I can wonder.
Can you answer this straight question?
No, I don't see it as a straight question. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Case in point. Are you matter, or do you think you're something more than matter?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I think it's a trick question, in a way.
Why do you think that?
Well, I think it's a question that belongs to a body of philosophy that I don't fully comprehend. And, I've never always been wary of philosophy.
Very, very simple. Who? What are you?
I'm sort of monkey. there's three chimpanzees, and we're the third chimpanzee. Let's say that. There's a miniature chimpanzee, and a full-size one from the zoo, and we're the third one.
And how would you describe your identity? Are you the chimpanzee's arm, leg, hair, or what?
The whole thing. Embodiment, yeah.
The whole embodiment? Embodiment means something is embodied.
Well, certainly not just the arm of the animal.
But if we cut the arm of the monkey off, does that mean you're less of a monkey? If you cut the tail off, does that mean you're...
I don't want monkey about it, just
But as a human being, you have to ask these questions, otherwise you are a monkey. You have to know who you are.
But if you follow that line of thought, you might decide that, gee, these questions are beyond me, you know.
But they're beyond monkeys, but not humans. And a human being must come to grips with it.
Well, there's good support for the view that we are monkeys. Let's assume we are. Maybe we can't solve that question.
So you say you're a monkey.
Well, there's no one in me saying that.
No, we're just talking about you right now. You say you're a monkey.
Yeah, I'm quite taken with it.
So, the whole secret of your existence is that, right?
No, I don't think that's the secret. I think it's a nasty truth that most people don't like.
Mm-hmm. And that's your theory.
So, So, and how would you describe your monkeyness?
Well, in terms of our group behavior, our mating,
Give me a physical, chemical, biological description of yourself as a monkey. Well, and then take that will cover everything about your existence.
Everything,
including your consciousness.
But then you can't see those things under microscopes, so no, we don't know about that.
Oh.
Do we?
So on the one hand you say that you're simply biochemistry, yes? Or no?
in a manner of describing how we've arrived.
No, no, no. We're just
we come out of the trees. You know.
What comes out of the trees?
Human beings. And swinging out of the trees.
And everything about your identity can be described in terms of what? Chemicals? Is that what you're telling me?
No. You're making a philosophical one.
I'm
making a scientific one. You're making a philosophical
one. Oh, you can't do that. you should understand he's actually a lawyer.
Was a
lawyer. Yeah, was a lawyer.
I'm not practicing law.
I know. But just run that by us again. Did you all catch that?
No.
How many of you caught that one? Did you catch that?
I said
Grant is getting warmed up here. I asked, are you just chemicals? And then you replied that I'm being philosophical and you're being scientific. Now you definitely gotta explain that one.
Well, the previous question am I restricted to biochemistry?
What is the nature of your identity?
Which is a philosophical inquiry.
Ooh.
Isn't it?
No.
Yes.
It is the most precise, basic question.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's not categorize it. What is it then? You tell me. What is that sort of question?
That kind of question is indicative of a human being.
Because it was made by a human being?
No, because as a human being, you must deal with those kind of questions. Otherwise, there's no difference between human life and animal life. Then indeed, we are monkeys when we don't ask these kind of questions.
So our ability to wonder separates us from the monkey?
Yes. Your ability to ask, who am I? What am I doing in this world? What's the nature of my identity? Otherwise, it's true. Human beings are just like monkeys these days. But because they have the ability to ask those kind of questions, that's what makes them different. So if we don't ask those questions and find the answers, then what's the use in our life? Therefore, you have people going around writing junk like this, and everybody buys it. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't write this junk. The person who spoke this has written books, million-selling books, with jokes on this kind of stuff. Not good for anybody to pick up. But who's to blame? If we don't know anything better than this, then naturally we're going to be cheated.
I think we'd be doomed, really.
Yeah.
Hmm? We can bet on literature to our kids.
But if the adults are buying all his books. So my point is, if you don't know anything better than this, therefore, what's the use? As a human being, you must find out what are these ultimate questions. But it's the hype. And I must tell you, it's the height of social conditioning to say that these so-called ultimate questions are not scientific, they're philosophical. Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, if I can get something out of the comparison, I'd say it.
Hmm?
Yeah. It contributed to the discussion, I'd say it.
Nothing else?
That there's a distinction in when you come to, I'm asking you the question, mm-hmm. and you're asking me the question, who's asking the question, and why are they there, and what's the agenda of the question?
The agenda of the question
and
is...
The question sits. You know?
The agenda of the question is, what are we? Are we just chemicals or something more?
Yeah, like we went through.
That is the most precise, scientific, philosophical, and practical, down-to-earth, everyday question. Can everybody see that?
But, I have one quick question. I wouldn't say that the nature of what differentiates me from being an ape it's the fact that I ask myself who I am. I don't think that's enough to separate me from ape-like. You know, I know I'm not that, but I'm not understanding myself for that idea.
The point is that as a human being, you must make these kind of inquiries. Otherwise, there's no human life. Animals don't ask these questions. Human life begins with these kind of questions. Okay? Begins. And so that's the end of it all. It begins.
Can you get beyond that question?
Because yeah, but first you got to deal with first grade, then you get to second grade, third grade, you know, and then you get to college and university. You got to start on, you know, at the first step. Now, why is it that we think, some of us think, that this kind of question is not essential or not practical? This is, you see, I'm trying to get you to see how the brain has been destroyed by society today. The most essential questions we kind of think are luxuries or thrills, mysteries. And so then we can say, just like the guy who wrote this nonsense, we just honor the mystery, honor the emptiness. That means I don't know and I don't want to know. Let the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending go on. So Bhagavad Gita is about coming to grips with the most basic practical questions. That's why it's spoken on a battlefield. There's no more practical place than our battlefield. You don't have time for any pie-in-the-sky stuff there. So what Krishna is speaking about in Bhagavad Gita is the most practical, essential subject matter. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in between two opposing armies. You're not going to find a more non-pie-in-the-sky situation than that. So, this has been a different night tonight. We don't do this too often, but I'm trying to humbly show you how the brain has been destroyed.
Brainwashed? Or brainwashing?
Whatever you want to call it, it's been destroyed by society. No one can see straight. It's so difficult for people just to get a finger on what they're doing in their own life. They can't see beyond all the buzzwords and the haze and the... Yeah.
That's probably because they think it's a crazy life, so they continue on cruising in life. Cruising on.
How many of you think it's just a crazy life, as she said?
Well, I do. That's how I feel, differently.
You just cruise along.
Yeah, I'm just cruising.
To what? What's the destination of the cruise?
Well, I might die tomorrow, but at least I have food.
Yes.
I'm just cruising along.
And you're satisfied with that?
Yeah, it's on its way.
Knowing that any moment the cruise might end.
Yeah.
It's all right with you.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm happy. I'm in a comfortable state.
But that comfortable state can end any moment, so how can that be real comfort?
Well,
and look what you got to go through to get that so-called comfort. Even before you ask, is it worth it? The point is it real what you're getting? So this is why you need Bhagavad Gita, because it'll teach you what's actually going on right now. You're not just cruising along in comfort right now. Your body is breaking down. This body that we love so much, it's breaking down.
Oh, but what, you get another body. You reincarnate another body.
Yes, so shouldn't you be concerned what body you'll get next?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you don't look after this body in this life, you won't get a healthy body in the next life.
That's the first one. God, I heard that one. I heard a lot of things here. That's definitely a first. If you don't keep physically fit with your body in this life, you won't get a good body your next life.
Well, I should know. I've been trying to diet for years.
In the hope set in debt. Therefore, if you can diet in this life, your next life will get a good body, huh? If you diet now, in your next life, you'll get a good body, huh?
Yeah.
Now, who told you that?
Oh, no, I'm just feeling.
You kill. So here you have one of the most spiritually attuned persons of offering, you see? I'm serious. This is the situation we're in today. You see, when I gave you this, and you read it, you should have just looked at this kid. Serious, this is a bunch of nonsense. Generally, those who come regularly, I ask that if they don't come on time, you know, for the future, bear that in mind, because it makes it very difficult. You know, we're just about to end. You know, I have to be a little strict like that for those who have come often. So, you should have... When you first read this, you should have just looked at this. A bunch of nonsense. That should have been your response. Soulmates. First question, what's a soul? And, you know, what does it mean to be a mate of a soul? And you should have been honoring the mystery of love and relationships. Well, what's love? And what's related to what? Who am I? First, let me figure out who I am. Then let me understand what I'm related to. Then the so-called nectar points of discussion. Meeting soulfully and therefore alchemically, yielding to whatever transformations of self and others. Well, what's the self?
What's the transmutation?
Did anybody ask what is the soul?
No.
Huh?
I thought it.
But that's the first thing you should have asked. Soul is that part of us that wants a rich, full experience of everyday life. This is just a bunch of hot air. Therefore, I'm asking very precisely, are you matter or are you something else? If you can't see that question as essential, you'll never get to the bottom of all this craziness here. You'll be hoodwinked and cheated year after year. Now, why do we have the susceptibility to be caught up by this stuff? Because we have no knowledge. So it's up to you all to get real knowledge. You are the most spiritually inquisitive persons in Auckland. That makes you distinct, but you've got to get some knowledge, otherwise you leave yourself wide open to be cheated. And the social conditioning gets so strong that even when we try to ask a question, who am I matter and spirit, then we take it this way, we take it that way, we can't focus. You see, your lifestyle depends on what you think you are. If you think you're not matter, or you think you're more than matter, you'll have a different kind of lifestyle. So now hopefully you can understand what Krishna is talking about here. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. This is subject matter which is beyond material comprehension. You need a spiritual lifestyle of purity in order to verify this. It's not dogma, it's not belief, but if you want to experience it, you've got to change your lifestyle.
But why is the subject matter immaterial or non-material?
Because the soul is non-material. You cannot perceive the soul with material perception, with material instruments. But that doesn't mean it's just some kind of blind faith. It means if you want to experience, you've got to pay the tuition. You've got to change your lifestyle. You can experience, you can learn, but you have to
come into the laboratory and take up the appropriate methods. If you don't do that, then you just throw words around all your life. God, soul, mystery, love, relationship. And what actually is just going on? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's it. Okay, we'll read the purport and we'll call it a night.
Is that a transmutation for you? Is it a subject matter?
Whatever is written on this page here is pure nonsense. I wouldn't waste the time of day looking at this. And that would be the attitude of someone who has knowledge. You just look at this and say, what is this? Get serious. It's a bunch of popular buzzwords, soulmates, the mystery of love and relationships. But all the popular stuff there, working things out within and, of course, beyond relationship, too, meaning, you can have your cake and eat it. all the popular stuff is there, you know. Working out in relationship of two embodied mysteries. If everybody can think that their sex life is the working out of the mystery. This is all crazy. So your reaction should have been, oh, get serious. You know, you should have just crumpled this up and thrown it on the floor.
Yeah, but isn't it a relationship you're talking about that isn't quite real?
No, because you don't know who you are, so how can anything be for real?
Yeah. And you still have a relationship with yourself.
So. You just forget self. No one knows what the self is.
Because I know myself. I know I use this when I'm looking at you. I know what people are doing with this.
Let's read that purport and we'll call it a night. Page 113.
130.
Josh, would you like to read?
So the Gita Upanishad is largely based on the teachings of the Upanishads. It is not surprising to also find this passage in the Katha Upanishad.
Just read English.
The fact that the atomic soul is within the body of a gigantic animal, in the body of a gigantic banyan tree, and also in the microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space, is certainly very amazing. Men with a poor fund of knowledge, and men who are not austere, cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit, even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge, who imparted lessons even to Brahma, the first living being in the universe. Owing to a gross material conception of things, most men in this age cannot imagine how such a small particle can become both so great and so small. So men look at the soul proper as wonderful either by constitution or by description. Illusioned by the material energy, people are so engrossed in subject matters for sense gratification that they have very little time to understand the question of self-understanding. Even though it is a fact that without the self-understanding, all activities result in ultimate defeat and struggle for existence. Perhaps they have no idea that one must think of the soul and thus make a solution to the material miseries. Some people who are inclined to hear about the soul may be attending lectures and good association, but sometimes, owing to ignorance, they are misguided by acceptance of the super soul and the atomic soul as one without the distinction of magnitude. It is very difficult to find a man who perfectly understands the position of the super soul, the atomic soul, their respective functions and relationships, and all other major and minor details. And it is still more difficult to find a man who has actually derived full benefit from knowledge of the soul, and who is able to describe the position of the soul in different aspects. But if somehow or other one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful. The easiest process for understanding the subject matter of self, however, is to accept the statements of the Bhagavad Gita spoken by the greatest authority, Lord Krishna, without being deviated by other theories. But it also requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous one, before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can, however, be known as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee and by no other way.
An interesting night. Sometimes in order to make further progress, we've got to come to grips with what actually isn't there before we can get there.
the basic
premise that we're going to end right there, okay? All right. Thank you very much.